You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz, the 16th of November, a Facebook Live, New York City edition of Locked On Jazz, coming to you, well, from New York. Breaking down last night's game, looking at the last 5 minutes, and taking your Facebook questions. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Good morning. I have a 10 o'clock meeting in New York. So we're doing this 6:30 in the morning. Your time. I try to avoid doing that. I totally understand. It's a Facebook Live, so it's brought to you by our good friends over at Shamrock Auto Group, Rob Thomas. Oh, just kidding. Rob Taylor. Wanted to see if you were paying attention. At some point, there's a new listener who does not know that joke or get it. If you're purchasing a car or truck in the next few weeks, give Shamrock Auto a call. Here's why. They'll save you money. They'll get you a super nice vehicle. The car buying experience will be quick and pleasant. That's what they're all about. So the background to Shamrock Auto Group is that they were started by Rob many years ago, and because he didn't like the car buying experience. So 50% of Shamrock's business are from prior customers. Primary reason they have customer loyalty is, one, they take care of you. Two, they're transparent about pricing. Three, they give you out-the-door pricing in 5 minutes. They have really nice, nearly new car. Most of the cars and trucks are under factory warranty. A lot of California cars that haven't been through the salt. They've been in business for about 9 years, and if you check out their Google reviews or their cars.com reviews, you will understand why they get 50% of the return customers. In fact, a bunch of people come from out of state to actually use Shamrock Auto Group. Give them a call, 801-319-2250. That's Rob. That's Rob's number right there, 801-319-2250. The address is 203 North 2000 West out in Pleasant Grove. 203 North 2000 West. They're out in Pleasant Grove, 2000 West or North County Boulevard. And I think you'll have a good experience. Check out the Google reviews. You'll be really, really surprised. And they just simply pride themselves on having cars that other people can't have. Brady gets out there and just busts his butt to find cars that you're not going to be able to get at other places. Out-the-door pricing, 5 minutes. Test drive yourself. Buying experience in under an hour. Full-service financing. Value-driven Carfax in every car. All right, so they bring you today's edition of Facebook Live. I think I said this, but I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Jazz. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily and Utah Jazz podcast. So we lose last night. The margin of error for the Jazz right now, with 3 of 10 guys out of the rotation, and one of them, ooh, sorry, I just saw something. Oh well, I'll have to deal with it later. And one of them being Rudy Gobert is really, really slim. And I think that's the biggest thing that we're going to have to be aware of here in this stretch. And I'm watching back to the final 5 minutes, and I'll run through all of that in a minute. And it's not actually bad plays. It's just a small margin. Some of it is actually what I think is loose balls, which I think is a skill and a talent. So loose balls, I think, are athleticism, anticipation, obviously some want-to, but I actually think want-to is overplayed in that circumstance. And in turn, it felt like we didn't get any loose balls last night. And that might be because Tim Hardaway's more athletic than Joe Ingles. And Frank Ntilikina's more athletic than Ricky Rubio. And, you know, we just don't have that many guys that are particularly athletic. The defense wasn't great last night, so we got to do our regular review here, as we always do, on kind of the numbers of the game. And what we're going to see is that the defense, the last two games, we're not getting the stops that we got when Rudy was around. So that's going to be the real question. It was the question going into the season. Can we get those stops? With Favors as the five, can we get stops? We couldn't last year. The Knicks' offensive rating last night was a 119.4. Pace of play was super slow, 89. Jazz offense was terrific, 114. So again, pace, league average right now is about 106. The best in the league over a year will be 110. Anything under 100 is good. We were allowed 119.4, so that's a bad one. Effective field goal percentage, league average is about 51. We were at 54. They were at 53. What's interesting is we didn't force the turnovers that we've been forcing, and the Knicks are a bit susceptible to. We were okay. We're at 14%, but not great. They got 30% of their offensive rebounds. That's a big number and probably the game-deciding number last night. When I look into the numbers today, only 6 fast break points in the whole game, which is a really misleading, weird stat because the Knicks got a bunch of transition late in the game. But I would kind of say that I think that when you look at the difference in the numbers and you kind of look it through, the one that jumps out to me is that, is the offensive rebounds that the Knicks were able to get in last night's game gave them just enough extra possessions that they win that game. The shooting data and playing tracker data from Second Spectrum. Last night, the Jazz, 49 uncontested looks. They hit 47. The Knicks last night, 48. Or they hit 47%. The Knicks last night, 48. And they hit 52%. Pretty even. They go 25 of 48. We go 23 of 49. Might have been it. Close game. You know, really close game. The matchups were fascinating last night. So, the matchups last night, the Jazz just abused Kristaps Porzingis and abused Enes Kanter for much of the game. I mean, Quinn just went at them time and time again. And then late in the game, forced Hornacek to play McDermott to close instead of Kanter. This now meant that Porzingis was being guarded by Favors, and the Jazz couldn't take Porzingis back out on the floor as they wanted to. But the Jazz, in the second quarter, the Knicks were -5 when Porzingis was on the floor because the Jazz just went right at him almost every possession. And we're trying to take advantage. He and Kanter together had a limited success last night because you couldn't hide. They would hide Kanter and then we'd go at Porzingis. Late in the game, they went small, forced Jerebko off the floor, and Jonas had a pretty darn good game against Porzingis last night. Defensively, was up on him as well as you could. Offensively, the Jazz were running a two-man game at the top where Jerebko was popping out, and Jerebko was getting some pretty good look threes. It was the value of the spread offense, having a four who could shoot, and Porzingis having to guard it because Kanter was going to be on Favors because they didn't want that matchup. So that, and then the Jazz couldn't get back to that late in the game. I'll walk through here in a minute the Jazz final 5 minutes before we get to questions. That's the plan, is kind of overview of last night. Final 5 minutes, your questions. The Rodney Hood was pretty darn good last night till the close, but he was really pretty darn good last night. And it's just there's something cool going on here that Rod suddenly may have found a groove coming off the bench. Now, late in games, and we'll get into this, now he's being guarded by Tim Hardaway Jr. again. But last night, you know, Rodney comes in the game and scores 8 points in that first quarter. 3 of 6 shooting, 2 of 4. He didn't have 8 points in first quarters when he was starting the whole time. And he's aggressive. I mean, he took 6 shots. And then third quarter, he comes in, and he had 15, I think he had 15 points in the third. And he's super aggressive. So that is this little twist that Quinn made on things where Rodney comes off the bench seems to really be a great answer for Rodney. Maybe it's more than anything else, but it's great. So Rodney has found a niche, and Rodney is in one of the most consistent stretches he's had. 17, 12, 19, 19, 19, 16, 30. How great is that? That's vital. Now, the rightful order of the basketball universe, I said yesterday that we've got to discover, maybe becomes a little bit more clear. That Rod, once he comes to the game, is your guy. Rubio goes out, Mitchell plays it together. And then you work from there. But the other one is his shots going down. He's 5 of 8 from 3, 3 of 6 from 3, 6 of 12 last night as the Jazz set a franchise record. 17 threes last night. So he's 13 of his last 26 from 3. That's going to make anyone look good, but okay, fine. So we got a good hot shooting streak going on right now. But I still go back to the fact that he had those two games with all the free throws, and even last night he had 5. The night before he had 3. These are good. I'm not going to go nickel and dime the fact that the assists and rebounds are not there. Let's just see if he can be a six-man scorer. Because that's what he does. If you're wondering, boy, I look like death warmed over today. I did not party last night. I don't drink. I did not party. I look like it, though. Holy smokes. This show is, like, hard to do because it's on Facebook Live, and I'm looking at myself, and I look like hell. I did not sleep much last night. I went out for a late dinner and had the most incredible lasagna and then amazing chocolate mousse, and then I worked for a few hours when I got home. So I'm only on 4 hours sleep, but I did not party last night. But if you look at me and think that I, like, hung one up last night, you should. Wow, do I look like hell. By the way, if you're wondering, this is the coffee that I travel with my own coffee maker. And then this is my limp water bottle. See, these are all the things you get to see by Facebook Live. Oh, you can't really see that. This is the limp water bottle that collapses. Love that. Anything else you want to see? All right, no. No, you don't want to see my room. There's crap everywhere. What else about last night's game that I want to jump in? I don't know if I have anything else on. Donovan's start was great, and we'll get into his late game was not. That's youth. I thought Jarebko was really good last night. AB continues to be okay, like he was solid last night. AB's really fascinating. It's just got to have, like, an exorcism of what old AB was into what new AB is. So what I mean by that is that, like, AB is not a driving, finishing player. It's not true. And he's not good at it, honestly. Like, that's the most telling part about it. He's shooting 50% on threes on catch and shoot, 57%. Now, not a huge sample size. But there was a key play last night. It wasn't in the fourth quarter, or it wasn't in the final 5 minutes, but it was clear. And he ends up with they kick it out to him, and I think he's open for the shot. I'll have to go back and watch. I think he's available for the shot. What ends up happening is that I think he thinks drive still first, so he catches and goes, and Quinn's been all over him about not catching, dribbling, and then deciding, right? It terminates the offense. It's terrible. He's gotten much better about it, but he's not a very good – when he's dribbled 3 to 6 times, he shoots 33%. Anytime he's taken – once he's taken a third dribble, he's 9 of 27 this year, 33%. He takes one dribble into a hopper, catch and shoot into a three. He's great. He's not particularly good at the rim. He's not particularly good on these drives, and he has no mid-range game. So what's interesting about him is he has to just – I don't know how to – like, he has to just make an adjustment to kind of who he is as a player. I know that sounds weird, but he's not the Houdini driver. He's a catch-and-shoot guy, and the next step for him is going to be to understand that. And when he has chances for catch and shoot, to actually do exactly that. I'm trying to find some of his shooting numbers. They do not come up easily. I have them myself. I was trying to actually use NBA.com. Why would I do something like that? You'll be surprised, though, when I pull this up. Give me 1 second to do a little AB search here on my handy-dandy system. I'm going to have to switch out of the Knicks into the Jazz on shooting percentages. And we'll find out. You'll be surprised of what his finishing at the rim numbers are this year. And this is actually goes back to last year. AB in the restricted area is 10 of 22. That's getting a little bit better. Paint non-restricted, 3 of 12. Mid-range, 6 of 17. Above the break, 3, 11 of 20. The other problem is, according to Dan Clayton's Twitter, he has one assist all year on those drives. So that's a little bit of a bummer. Today's show is brought to you in part by Stevens Henniger College. Heading to work this morning, if you're watching live, it's early, and don't love it. Feel like you're boxed in. Feel like, oh, crap, what am I doing this for, another 10 years? I don't like this. Then maybe Stevens Henniger can help you. Help you get a better job sooner. Help you work your way through college. It's built for success. Fast-paced, four-week classes, 10 hours a week of classes. Computer science courses develop for you. Maybe you want to get into the nursing aspect of things. Whatever it is, Stevens Henniger's whole purpose is to give you an opportunity, better opportunity. So you're working, you've already got a family, you're looking at this going, I don't have time. Well, let's try. Stevens Henniger has a three-week dating period, as they like to refer to it. No cost. They check you out for 3 weeks, you check them out, maybe we got match.com. They have a financial aid planner that sits down with you, walks you through the system, and gives you the number from the beginning with no added costs. Courses are designed for business needs. Classes are 9.5 to 1. Narrow focus, great flexibility. And like they like to say, when you walk in the door, you're greeted by family. Career placement staff does the best they can. They've won best in state for a reason. Computer networking, programming, business, HR, nursing, whatever it might be. Stevens Henniger is there for you. Do this. Go keyword 88588. Text keyword to 88588 or visit youineducation.com. That's youineducation.com. And maybe Stevens Henniger can be the place that will move you along into a better career. The final 5 minutes last night. I've got them right here. Just walk through them together. It's interesting. Jazz run a nice play set on the right side. They run, because Porzingis is guarding Favors, they go into Favors in the post. They run cutters off of Favors, something they're trying to do more of to get Favors engaged. Gives it to Rodney Hood. Pretty good look jumper. Missed it. Okay? On the next rebound, Donovan Mitchell loses the rebound. Jazz have a rebound chance to run. Donovan Mitchell, everyone's running. Donovan Mitchell sloppy with the rebound, gets it knocked away. They end up getting a stop. And then on that, Mitchell goes coast-to-coast, one-on-one, at Porzingis for a little ill-advised shot. Next possession, off a beautiful set from Quinn, and wide open, Rodney Hood misses a three. I mean, wide open. I don't know if this is updated. This does not look to me to be updated last night. Going into last night, Rodney Hood was 0 for 4 shooting in the clutch this year. And I don't know what he was last year. It's worth taking a little look. And what I noticed last night, even on that set was awesome, but Tim Hardaway's now up on Rodney, getting into him. I mean, really getting into him. Of course, I can't read my next writing. Hood misses. Ntilikina pushes off the miss. Transition D. Mitchell with a bad play. Fouls Ntilikina with guys back in the penalty. Gives him two free throws. He actually splits them. We're tied at 92. Hood penetrates out to AB. Corner three. He actually thought shot first. It was great. Misses it, but transition defense. Mitchell from the back right side tries to crash for an offensive glass. Doesn't get back defensively. Okay. This is why young guys don't play a lot. I mean, there's three pretty significant errors by Donovan, and it's all right. I mean, this is part of the process. It's why you let him, but you got to understand what's happening. Then Donovan goes one-on-one, gets into the middle of the lane, and takes a really poor, ill-advised floater. Just not a good shot. Misses. Okay? So we have not scored because Hood missed a good look jumper. Hood missed an open three. Donovan goes coast-to-coast, ill-advised. Burks misses an open, pretty good look three. Mitchell misses a floater. Porzingis goes one-on-one to Favors. Favors gets the stop. Offensive foul on Rodney, where I think Hardaway flopped. Next possession down, ticky-tack foul on Hardaway, Hood sends Porzingis to line, and now Rodney's beside himself. Yeah, you need to write better. Mitchell something on play. Oh, Mitchell stymied. I wonder, I couldn't read it. Mitchell stymied on the next play, tries to go one-on-one, makes a bad decision, doesn't get off the ball, now suddenly terminates his dribble in a dead zone, has McDermott all over him, throws up an air ball. Great transition defense, rebound gets tipped off of Ingles out of bounds, they just don't get the ball. Are they tired? You know, who knows? Then, this is the play of the night that I don't know enough to know what went wrong. They inbound underneath the basket, which Ron hates when you can inbound it back into the lane. So Ingles flips back in. Hood comes to, or Mitchell comes to double because he's right under the, or Mitchell allows the pass in. Ingles was guarding the inbound. He comes to double. The inbounder, Hardaway, flips out to the baseline. Ingles gets back to his man. Hood runs to double. I cannot tell if he should have or not. I mean, everyone's doing the best intention here. McDermott, who is Hood's man now, slices. Because he slices, Favors bumps him, which I can't tell if he's supposed to because I don't know enough, but is seemingly a good effort to try to cut that off, but at least Porzingis wide open for a three. First three of the night for Porzingis. Then the next play bums me out. Rodney Hood takes a three, and he has no intention of making the shot. He has every intention of trying to get three free throws. He just flopped. He flopped on a three on a pretty important shot. Now, you go watch the replay. He's not touched at all. He's more concerned about falling as he comes down. His legs are already out from under him. Then the Jazz have two quick early possessions. Transition three to Ingles, and Rubio gets in the lane quickly. So the Jazz are able to push. The Knicks were really impressive in pushing. And then the next play is the Hardaway three, which ends the ballgame. Just little mistakes. Rodney last year, by the way, did not play a lot of clutch minutes. In the clutch, last 5 minutes, Rodney Hood last year only played 48 minutes. Gobert played 127. Hayward played 126. Ingles played 86. Joe Johnson played 78. Shelvin Mack played 64. George Hill played 57. Rodney Hood played 48 minutes in the clutch last year. So he did not play a lot of clutch. He certainly did not play clutch minutes with Tim Hardaway Jr. all over him as the primary guy. That he did not do. And I can promise you that that's having an impact on him. We'll see how the Jazz clutch numbers go. Right now, Mitchell's 2-for-8. Oh, this has last night in it. Mitchell's 2-for-8. Rubio's actually pretty good, 4-for-7. Hood's 0-for-4. Gobert 3-for-5, Cephalosha 2-for-3, Favors 0-for-2, Burks 0-for-3, Ingles 0-for-1. So, well, you know, they didn't make the plays need to win, I guess is my takeaway. A lot of little mistakes by Donovan, not a great sequence by Rod, and that busted play, really, their defense was good enough on some other stuff. Transition, when they ran, they were able to have some success. And there were some matchup games, you know, some matchup games that suddenly went a little bit toward the Knicks is the way I would say it. We have not been, if you're wondering, like, well, have we been bad all year? The answer is no. Let me see if I can find that for you. Team advanced clutch for the season. Coming in, and this is such a small sample size, right? We're talking about 22, 23, 24 minutes. Well, we now are after last night. We're 24th offensively now. We weren't going into last night. And we're 16th defensively in the clutch. The Knicks are now the second best defensive team and the fourth best offensive team in the clutch. They're 4-2. Boston's 8-2 in games in clutch this year. Incredible. Incredible. Best clutch team so far has been the Knicks. Number one clutch team in the NBA, their net ratings of 43, followed by the Spurs, Warriors, Bucks, Phoenix, which tells you how small the sample size is. Overall, we're 24th. you know, would have been nice to hold on to get that one. First day of the trip, we're not favored in any of them. Brooklyn's a necessary win. It could start to pile on itself a little bit. Today's show is brought to you in part by the Advocates. Matt and the crew over at the Advocates do nice work for all of you when time is need. So get in a car accident. You're now worried about three things. All right, I better get what I deserve. I got to make sure nothing bad happens. And it'd be nice if you treated me well. Frankly, that would be very low on my personal list of things that I cared about at that point. But that's the Advocates. Matt's very insistent on that as something that they do, which tells you who they are. They're going to map out the best experience. They've got special teams players inside their company. They're going to work through the process because what they've done is they've figured out, the Advocates have, it's a 106-step process. Over the last 25 years, they've maximized this to the most efficient possible experience. You'll get a call from a lawyer in 60 seconds. You'll get talk with your attorney who has your case. They'll be with you, and then you go into their case, into their system. And, yeah, sure, it's a little bit like an airline plain checklist system that they just work it all the way down, but only 1% go to trial and 3% go to arbitration. So while all accidents are different, process is the same. They have a process that is efficient. Efficient means productivity, means communication, means expediting the process, and experts at the task inside the process. So you're going to get an efficient, well-communicated, and great results. That's what Utah Advocates are all about. Give them a call at 801-355-5550. That's 801-355-5550. 5550. All right, let's get to your questions. Starting at the top. Hi, Brandon. Good morning. Way too early. Jesse, who comes from, like, Michigan, maybe? Where we always see you on the road. Is it Michigan? I was wondering if Derek did anything different that led him to getting so many assists last night. Also, a general NBA question. Why doesn't the NBA have an injured reserve or a disabled list other sports? Wouldn't it help in situations like Dante or Hayward? Well, Boston has a disabled, but we haven't ruled Dante out for the season. We could go try to get a disabled player exception, but then Dante could not play again. And I'm not sure that Dante's there. I think Dante is trying to make it back. I don't, you know, whether it's the right move the organization will have to make. But I think in Dante's mind, that's why it took him a while to make the decision, is he's trying to make his way back. I'm going to guess they're cutting off favors on the mid-roll. The Jazz were also running a lot of horn sets last night. I don't have a specific answer to how Derek got his assist, but maybe I'll watch it tonight for you, and I'll have it for Friday's show. As much as Kanter is the least liked player in the NBA for Jazz fans, I don't think that's his title anymore. The news about him and his family sure seems tragic. Any insights into the situation seems to find himself in with the politics of his country. Ennis and his dad always never had a good relationship. If you recall, I had a major sit-down interview with Ennis, and he kind of revealed that his dad's never come to see him play. His dad forced him to do schoolwork every day. You know the overzealous American athlete parent? He had the overzealous academic Turkish parent, evidently. His dad's a professor, and his dad really just demanded him to do academics after academics after academics, and he would tell stories about being in Istanbul on weekends with tutors coming to the house and him looking outside at all the kids playing. And it wasn't until a snowstorm one day where his tutor couldn't get there and his dad had to come pick him up that he actually played basketball in front of his dad. He was not particularly supported in that regard, and so I think that's where the fissure of that relationship starts. We usually see it when parents are overzealous about athletics, but I think it was the opposite. And so he does not have a great relationship with his dad. In turn, his dad, he sees, I think so, in many ways, I wonder sometimes whether this political rebellion that he's in is actually a rebellion against his parents, not or his dad, not to be Dr. Phil. But it was interesting, his dad never came and visited in all his time in Salt Lake City. His other brother is in America as well. And I would also say this, I don't, you know, Ennis is very susceptible to whatever it is at the time. He's an extreme or nothing guy. So, you know, one year it was his abs and hanging out at the University of Utah and Instagramming everything with the college kids at the U. And then I think he got told by some people that maybe that wasn't quite right. And he went back and he met with his mom and his mom talked to him about religion. So then he came back an adamant Muslim and was completely all about Muslim and doing the multiple prayers a day. And I think you've read about that. And so he is a little bit of an all-or-nothing guy, and he craves attention. So all of these things, and why does he crave attention? Probably because of the relationship he had with his father. So I'm just playing Dr. Phil on Ennis here. I always kind of had a sweet spot in my heart for Ennis. He and I have not communicated much since he left. Probably I should have done more on that. But, you know, I think that he's trying to grow up and learn in a spotlight, and hopefully he'll have a good life. I mean, that's really all this matters. This is such a small window, and these poor guys give up every single thing of their lives. They make a buttload of money, but they also lose everything in the process. And then I don't know what they do next. Do you think Donovan can keep improving his game this year at the rate for the entire season? I've never seen someone improve so quickly. He hardly ever makes the same mistakes twice. Well, I mean, I just kind of outlined that he was pretty bad in the last 5 minutes. So there's a lot of areas that probably we're not seeing. He has made huge strides and done some very impressive things and is impressive in every aspect. I saw his dad last night and just told him, boy, you wrote a book, I'd buy it. Like, what you've done raising your son is super impressive. But he did not have a good close to the game. His decision-making late was not good. He's really got to improve his decision-making, and that comes with experience. I wonder if Denver will ever take a call from the Jazz again. Two of our best players were drafted by Denver. We traded for them. They'll run the next time we call. Yeah, they might. Hopefully Trey Lyles gets going. It's interesting how much Trey Lyles, in some ways, if he clicked in, would help us right now. But he's not getting a chance in Denver, so maybe he's not going to click in. So is Publix the best coffee spot in Utah? I haven't tried it yet, but I noticed you and Joe Ingles talk about it. Yeah, it's actually that coffee shop on West Temple is one of the best coffee shops anywhere in the country. It's great. It's got a great vibe. It's got super people there all the time. It's really cool. And night to night, they have a place now that people say is really good. This next guy always asked me a question, and his name's Brent Worthington, and one of my best friends married a Brett Worthington. I think that's her husband's name. Every time I see it, I think that's it. Are the Knicks good because Phil is gone and Carmelo's gone? I think Jeff Hornacek, pregame last night when talking to him, said that, you know, they at least can run one thing. They're not trying to meld their system and someone else's, like the triangle. So his guys aren't thinking. You saw them really play well in transition. And Carmelo leaving has been a bonus for everybody where he's ever left. And it's been a bad for anybody who ever got him. By the way, here's a food for thought. And we'll talk more about this probably tomorrow. Any chance Andrew Wiggins is the new Carmelo? Andrew Wiggins is really mystifying. We'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow. But yeah, I mean, Carmelo leaving has really helped this team. It's freed it. They're playing. They wouldn't have, you know, those transition buckets they got late last night that really changed the game, they don't get because they wait for Carmelo. Jeff, talking to Jeff, he said, I got a team that's willing to run now. Okay, well, that means, in other words, Carmelo wasn't. They're willing to run a system, which Carmelo wasn't. It's a big deal. Have you had a chance to read The Captain Class by Sam Walker? Actually, you know what's really funny is I got a text from Rob Taylor of Shamrock Auto Group the other day telling me to read Captain Class. So I will have to grab it. I have not started yet. That's twice. That pushes me over the limit. Now I will try to read it. Rubio started the season so well. What do you think is impacting his current funk? Any reason why Neto didn't get in the game yesterday, and if he'll get more time? So I'm just going to focus on Rubio. I think that the fact we don't have a rightful order of the basketball universe and it's not clear who's getting shots and when has really put him in a position in which too often he's not quite sure what to do. And I think that, and then it's over. He's getting overzealous offensively. All right, I got about one more question. How does offense affect defense? Before Rudy got injured, do you think our defense could have been even better if we'd actually made a shot, allowing us to set our defense? There is actually a website, let me see if I can find it, that tells you this. And actually, interestingly, about the Jazz, going into the other night, we were actually better defensively after a miss than a make, which is unheard of. But you're absolutely right. League average defensively after a made or lead median, the median after a made shot is 1.04 points per possession. Okay? So after a made shot, defense is 1.04 points per possession. This does not say what day this is. Oh, wait, this is 6. That was 16-17. That's fine. 16. I mean, that's actually probably a better sample size. This year, let's see what it is. This is a site called Inpredictable. This year, the median is 1.02, so it's down. We're right there. After a made shot, our defense is average. After a defensive rebound, offense is a little better. It's 1.08, right? So league average-wise, we're fifth best. We're actually at 0.97. Our transition defense is great after a made shot, 0.97, and just off the lead. Off a turnover, the median in the league is 1.18, okay? So after a made shot, it's 1.02. This is the median number. 1.07, and then off a live ball turnover, it's 1.18. Off a live ball turnover, we are the fourth worst team in the NBA right now. Because we're committing brutal, catastrophic turnovers when we commit them. We've gotten a little better at it. But we are not good on that. Offensively, if you're just wondering, since we're on the topic, and then there's a bunch of other questions in today. I will go through them tonight and see which ones I can answer. We are 27th in the league offensively after a made shot. 25th in the league after a defensive rebound, and 27th after the league after a turnover. That's an area we just don't run very well. We also just don't have a lot of guys. Other than Donovan, we really don't have anybody who can beat you and get to the rim. It's limiting. Best offense in the league after a made shot. So, in other words, just half-court set is Golden State, followed by Houston, Cleveland, Minnesota, and Toronto. All right, that is Locked On Jazz today, Facebook Live. Thank you very much for tuning in. Greatly appreciate it. Hope you have a wonderful day. 38 minutes are in the books. Have a great one. Thanks. We'll be back with you tomorrow. I saw a bunch of the questions. I said I'll get to those tomorrow and make sure if there's some good big-picture topics, and maybe we'll talk Andrew Wiggins tomorrow as well, which is kind of my big thought on the day around the league these days. See you.